The rest of us, let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Our relationship to the law has changed. We are no longer under its authority. We are able to serve God in the new way of the Spirit. The law is not sinful. We are. The law reveals sin is living in fallen human beings. We can be freed from the power of sin only by becoming loyal to Yeshua. That's what we're going to cover this morning. Those are the main themes. The Jewish people really are a very special people. We are the chosen people. For century after century after century, we were the only nation that knew the true and living God, who alone can save human beings from the things we need saving from the most: Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. The Jewish people were the recipients of the law, which is an amazing gift, full of divine revelation and wisdom and truth. Over the centuries, and especially after the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians, the Jewish people became enamored by the law, of the law, but not always enamored of the law in the right way. We started believing that the law was the way of salvation. Knowing the law and keeping the law and law keeping, cannot save human beings from the things we need to be saved from the most: Satan and the fallen angels, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. What saved people who were under the law was the same thing that saves people today: God's grace, which is given to those who have faith and who offer a God-ordained sacrifice. Those Jewish people who were under the authority of the law and who had faith in God and offered their God-ordained sacrifice were saved. Then they used the law as teaching, which is what Torah means, teaching. They used the law as teaching, as their guide for right behavior and right actions. But the law itself and their law-keeping did not save them. It was God who saved them by his grace when they had faith and offered a God-ordained sacrifice. The Lord's representative, Paul, is trying to help people who were familiar with the law and who were under the authority of the law to understand the limits of the law, what the law was designed for, what the law can do for us, and what the law can't do for us, especially when it comes to the issue of fallen human beings being saved or redeemed. In chapter 6, the rabbi taught the Christians and Messianic Jews in Rome that because of Messiah, and because of his death, and because of his new life, if we are connected to Messiah because of our faith in him, we experience a spiritual death, and we experience a new kind of spiritual life. Because of that spiritual death experience and that spiritual new life experience, some of our most important relationships change. We die to our old master, sin. We become alive to our new master, God. We die to the law. We are no longer under its authority. We are under the authority of a new operating principle: God's grace. The rabbi continues his teaching on our relationship to the law in this chapter, chapter 7. He teaches us that death indeed changes a person's relationship to law. He uses the example of the law that governs the relationship between a husband and his wife. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. The death of the husband frees the wife from the law that she is bound to her husband and must not have a sexual relationship with a man other than her husband. Now, we understand this. The principle that death frees a person from law applies to those who are joined to the Messiah, Christians and Messianic Jews. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Messiah. He died. That you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. When we are united to Messiah because of our faith, we are united to the great events that happened to him as well, like his death. We experience a kind of spiritual death. That spiritual death changes our relationship to the law. It frees us from the authority of the law. As a system, the law no longer has authority or control over us. We no longer belong to that system. We now belong to Messiah, who redeemed us, who bought us, who paid the price to remove us from the demonic slave market of sin and death. It's like we belong to a new husband, Messiah. And the rabbi wants us to know that there is a tremendous benefit that comes from not belonging to the law and instead belonging to Messiah. Now we are able to bear fruit for God. We are able to produce good things in our lives, things that come from the combination of having Yeshua as our Lord and having new life and a new nature and having the Holy Spirit living in us and empowering us and enabling us to have right beliefs, right desires, right motivations. Jerry was absolutely right. Right desires, right motivations are essential. And being able to consistently do the right thing. Those who are not united to the Messiah are not able to bear fruit for God the way they need to. They do not have Yeshua as their master. They do not have a new godly nature. They don't have the Holy Spirit living in them and empowering them. They don't generally believe the right things. They don't have the right desires and motivations. They don't consistently engage in the right actions. Those who are not united to Messiah are not able to bear fruit for God the way they need to. The rabbi continues, "For when we were in the realm of the flesh," and here the flesh does not mean the body, it means the entire old nature, the sinful nature we are born with. When we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. The law has many purposes. One of the purposes of the law is to make sin increase by stirring up the desire in our fallen nature to rebel against the law. Often when we are confronted by a law, whether it's one of God's laws or a man-made law, our natural reaction, which comes from our sinful nature, is to oppose that law. If someone tells me, "Don't touch that," I immediately want to touch that. "Don't look at that." I suddenly have a desire to look at that. "Don't do that." Something in me responds, "Who is he telling me what I can and cannot do? I'll show him who's in charge. I will do what he is telling me not to do." When that inner rebellion against law happens within us, we should think, "Why do I want to look at that or touch that when I have been told not to?" There must be something deep within me that wants to rebel against law and authority. That can't be good. Something ought to be done about that. Giving into the corrupt desires of our old nature, which are stirred up by the law, offends God, who is the lawgiver and who is holy and righteous. Giving into the sinful desires of our old nature, which are stirred up by the law, results in death. However, that no longer needs to be us. But now, by dying to once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we are able to serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. By having faith, we are united to Messiah, and we are united to his death. We experience a spiritual death. And our spiritual death changes our relationship to the law so that we are no longer under its authority. And because we are no longer under its authority, it no longer has the ability to stir up sinful desires in us in the same way. And instead, we have a new master, the risen Messiah. And we have that new nature. And we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, living in us, helping us understand the things that God wants us to understand and empowering us to do the things that God wants us to do and empowering us not to do the things that God does not want us to do. The Spirit of God helps us to serve God in a whole new way. And the Spirit of God living in us frees us from trying to serve God in what Paul calls the old way of the written code. When the rabbi was writing this, the vast majority of people who were living under the law could not see the forest because of the trees. They knew the law was from God. They knew that it was very important. They knew that it was necessary to obey it. And so they became fixated on the law and law-keeping, Torah observance, doing mitzvot, the commandments. They became focused, fixated on the written code and on all the specifics and details, and lost sight of their need to have faith in God like Moses, the lawgiver, did. Moses was a man of great faith. Of their need to have a close personal relationship with the living God, like Moses did. A relationship based on God's grace, not on works, effort, performance. The law and law keeping became their focus. Instead of having a personal relationship with the living God and loving him from their hearts. You see, law is not designed to save people. It is designed as a guide for saved people to follow. And there's a huge difference. Law is not designed to restore our broken relationship with God. It is designed as a guide for those whose broken relationship with God has been mended. There's a huge difference. But when we understand that we have died to the law and that we're no longer under its authority, and when we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Holy Spirit gives us a different perspective. We are able to see the trees and the forest. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand that the foundation, the basis for our actions, our deeds, our good works, our efforts, flow from the souls of those who are right with God, those who have been saved by God's grace. They then try to live for God and meet his standards out of gratitude for their salvation, not to earn their salvation. Their motivation is entirely different, and that's crucial. Understanding the difference between serving God because he has saved us and we are right with him and we want to please him and live according to his standards, or trying to serve God by keeping the law so that he will be pleased with us and save us, is very important to understand. It's a matter of life and death. It is impossible to please God by serving him in the old way of the written code, by focusing on fulfilling the letter of the law, emphasizing law and law-keeping, mitzvot and Torah observance in the hope of gaining salvation. And yet, so many of the Jewish people through the centuries and still to this day are trying to serve God in that way of the written code. And so many people who think they are Christians today are really doing the very same thing. Their approach to Christianity is not about loving God from their hearts and giving themselves to serve him. No. Their Christianity is about keeping laws. It's about performance, human effort. It's about being baptized. It's about going to church. It's about keeping the Ten Commandments, observing certain rituals or ceremonies or holidays. It's not about loving God with all their mind, heart, soul, and strength, and giving themselves to him and his service. It's about what they do. It's about law keeping. It's about works. Thanks be to God that we have been released from the law so that we are able to serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. One of the purposes of law is to increase sin. That raises an interesting theological question, which the rabbi asks and then answers. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? The answer? Certainly not. Paul wants us to understand that even though the law stirs up sinful desires in us, the law itself is not sinful. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. Coveting isn't just wanting what you don't have. It's wanting what you have no right to have. You can want to marry someone, but not if that person you want to marry is already married to someone else, like David, who coveted Bathsheba. You can want to own a property, but not if it belongs to someone else who is unwilling to part with that property, like Ahab, who coveted Naboth's vineyard and then had him killed to get it. You can want a nice house to live in, but not if it means depriving someone else of that house who has the right to live there. The law against coveting makes us aware that it is wrong to covet. The law against coveting stirs up coveting within us. The law against coveting helps us understand that we are engaged in coveting. The law against coveting helps us understand more about sin and more about our sinful nature. This is what the law was designed to do. The law stirs up sinful desires in our old, fallen, sinful nature. For apart from the law, sin was dead. We are full of sinful desires down deep within us. When they are not stirred up by the law, many of our sinful desires seem like they don't exist, like they are dead. The truth is, many sinful desires exist within us, but they are inactive. They are dormant. They are in a state of hibernation like a bear during the winter. But the law comes like the spring and wakes them up from their state of dormancy, from their hibernation. The law makes those sinful desires come alive, and when sin comes alive within us, it kills us. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. When our sinful desires spring to life, and we yield to them, our sins drive us farther from a good God. Our sins corrupt us. Our sins harm us. Our sins diminish us. Our sins kill us. When the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. Life in a fallen world is full of ironies. I like ironies. I think my favorite irony is the Son of God was in the world, and although he made the world did not know him. I think that's my favorite irony. Paul gives us another irony here. Even though the law stirs up sin in us, the law itself is not sinful. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. That's ironic. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. One of the ways that God helps us understand that we are sinners is by the law and the way it interacts with our old nature. The law, which is holy and righteous and good, stirs up sin in us. There is something in us that is so sinful that when it encounters law, it wants to oppose that law, even if that law is good and holy and righteous. When you realize that's you, and that has happened to you, and that something within you has been stirred up to oppose a good law, do not blame the law for being sinful. Do not blame the law for being the problem. Blame yourself. Blame your sinful nature. So then, the law is holy. The commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? No, by no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good, the law, to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. When something that is good, holy, and righteous stirs up the desire in me to sin, the proper conclusion, the right conclusion to arrive at is that we are utterly sinful. We are creatures with a very corrupt, sinful nature. The problem lies with us. The fault lies with us, not the law, which is good and holy and righteous. The law reveals that we are sinners, and not just small sinners, little sinners, inconsequential sinners, insignificant sinners, but we are very significant sinners. In order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly, utterly sinful. We don't need to be a drug dealer, a rapist, a career criminal, a murderer, to realize that we are sinners. When the law stirs up these evil desires deep within us, and we respond to the law, which is good and holy, with contempt and the desire to violate the law, even if it's the law about coveting, it reveals to us that something is going on in us at a very deep level that is extremely wicked, very evil, very perverse, very rebellious. It shows that our sin nature is utterly sinful. Does that make sense? You do not need to be a murderer, rapist, career criminal to understand that you, your basic nature is very sinful. I love this next section. Paul masterfully describes the inner struggle of a person who is not saved, who is not born again. He is aware of God. In fact, he wants to please God. He knows God's law. He's familiar with it. He is aware of right and wrong. He wants to do what is right. He does not want to do what is wrong. But life has taught him that he is incapable of consistently doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. I'm going to read the whole section. This struggle, and then I'll break it down. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work, this principle at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, another principle operating within me, waging against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, this operating principle of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. We know that the law is spiritual. The law comes from God, who is spiritual. The law is good and right and holy. The law is not the problem. I am unspiritual. People who are not saved, who are not born again, are disconnected from God, who is spiritual. I am unspiritual. I'm not good. I am not right. I am not holy. I am the problem. I am sold as a slave to sin. This is true of all of humanity. Human beings are not free moral agents. They have been co-opted, taken over by a superior alien force, sin. I don't understand why I can't live the way I know I should live. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I know right from wrong. I want to do what is right and not do what is wrong, but my knowledge of right and wrong isn't enough. I do not have the power, I do not have the ability to live in a way so that I consistently avoid evil and do what is right. I have knowledge, but not power. The law is good and teaches what is right and wrong. When I do something I know is wrong, I'm acknowledging that I am the problem, not the law. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. The law is not to be blamed. I am to be blamed. Part of my inner self, the part that knows what is right, the part that wants to please God, has been taken over. It's been co-opted by a dark, sinister force, and I am powerless to change it. It's like I'm a prisoner in my own body. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Because of this struggle between my knowledge of right and wrong and my inability to consistently do what is right and avoid doing what is wrong, I am able to understand that my nature is not good. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I am weak. My nature all too naturally cooperates with evil. Yielding to my sinful desires comes easily to me and naturally to me. Consistently doing what is right is hard for me. It is unnatural. Therefore, I am not good. I don't have a good nature like God and the angels. I have a sinful nature. I have a dark, deadly, sinister force inside of me which is able to control me. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Sin is like this living force, like that animal trying to break through the door that wanted to control and master Cain. Sin has done that with humanity. The law of sin, this principle of how sin operates, is at work in me. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law, another operating principle at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind. My mind knows the right thing and wants to do the right thing. It's waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Fallen human beings who know the law and who are under the law and who have a sin nature can want to know God and want to do what the law commands, but they are unable to do so. They're like a prisoner who is controlled by an evil warden who forces the prisoner to do his evil bidding. That fallen nature, that sinful nature, is weak and is incapable of breaking free from the evil warden and living according to the law the way it wants to. Knowledge about God is not enough to rescue me from the power of sin and my sinful nature. Knowledge about God is not enough. The law is not enough. I am not enough. No matter how hard I try, I am a pathetic, weak, helpless, sinful wretch. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Not just the body, but also our nature. This is the experience of human beings who are not born again, who are not saved, who have not been redeemed, who have not had faith in the three-in-one God and are recipients of his grace. But there is a way I can be rescued from my body and my nature that are weak and corrupt and subject to death. Paul gives us the way. Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. I can overcome sin. I can overcome my sinful nature. I can overcome the death of my body and my sin nature by knowing who Yeshua is and giving my allegiance to him and to his Father and receiving the Holy Spirit.